From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Protests continue on campuses across the country. Austin, Texas, looks like it's getting really heated. They brought the horses out.
Holy cow.
Because they're not horsing around. That's a bad joke. I'll quit now. I'll go ahead and leave.
No, it's okay, man.
No,
it's a horrific piece of footage.
And a horrific joke that I just did. I'm losing my touch, Andrew. What am I supposed to do? Thank you, my friend. You heard of the Seattle freeze. What about the Seattle smug? Solar funding is going to bring $150 million to solar panels. Need sun for that, or at least I thought I did before Spike got smug with me. But is the Supreme Court in the pocket of Donald Trump in terms of his immunity case? Now, Donald Trump is, tomorrow, arguments are going
to
be heard.
Oral arguments begin tomorrow, yeah. For a case they didn't need to take up.
For a case they really didn't need to take up. It's already been covered by the appellate court. Doesn't seem weird to me what their decision was. But basically, it goes like this. Donald Trump is under the assumption, or at least his lawyers are under the assumption, that when he is the president of the United States, anything that he does it as an action within that role is protected activity, even if it is deemed later to be criminal. Or he cannot be charged for any of that behavior.
Trump's made the argument that if the president doesn't have complete immunity,
right,
every president who leaves office will then be brought up on charges by the opposing party.
So this is an argument that was first proposed by Antonin Scalia, and it has been described by other legal experts as being trash. Whoops. Garbage.
Yeah.
It's been described as being absolute trash and garbage. But the argument that Trump's lawyers are going to be making, they already made to the appellate court. And we have a couple of sound bites from it, because I think anybody out there can understand what the dangers are of having somebody who cannot be charged as a criminal while they're being, while they're president of the United States, or even
he's above the law.
Above the law. So can we do the, this is the Judge Florence Pan, and she addressed the lawyer, John Sauer, when they were talking about what exactly are you talking about when it comes to being removed from criminal culpability? Can we play that cut really quick?
Your position is, as I understand it, if a president is impeached or convicted, impeached and convicted by Congress, then he is subject to criminal prosecution, correct?
That would be unnecessary. Is that too?
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, he's not completely and absolutely immune.
So what the lawyer is basically trying to say is that unless a president is convicted in an impeachment, he can then be tried in a criminal court.
Correct.
But not unless he is impeached. That is the definition of a two-tier justice system, and we should most certainly stray away from that in every single way, shape, and form.
And they're taking a literal reading of the Constitution. That's how they arrive at that legal stand. That's, but before a president can be deemed accountable, he has to be first run through the impeachment process.
Yeah, which is just insane.
And at that point, you're asking partisan elect politicians to, which they've shown to do in impeachment trials, vote for political survival.
Yeah.
And not in a court of law where facts are presented and argued in a jury of our peers, which is still the cornerstone of our justice system,
mm-hmm.
is a jury. Because the Congress, the Senate's voting in the impeachment trials are not a jury of your peers in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it just seems like it would be a kangaroo court.
Yes.
That would, let's just say hypothetically that Joe Biden, being the devious, machinacious, scheming individual that he is, Machiavellian, I'm told, that he's simultaneously an idiot, but then also an evil, maniacal genius. Let us just say that he decides to have a hit squad go out against former President Donald Trump, who is his chief political rival,
mm-hmm.
and then they kill Donald Trump extrajudiciously, right? They do so without, under the protection of the law,
mm-hmm.
and then the paper trail is all there. The order is there. He signed it. It all unfolded. He does it under the justification of that Trump is a threat to democracy. You're telling me that the only way that he can be convicted of murder, which is what he did, would be if the Senate, which is all Democrats right now, would vote to impeach him. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's a completely impractical way to look at the law in this regard.
So this is an interesting piece of Politico, because they're basically saying that the court is so skewed that they're likely going to rule in Trump's favor. But I don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening from any of the, whether it's Barry or Coney Barrett, or whether it's Kavanaugh, or any of these other weirdos that we put in there, Kenji Jackson Brown, or Sotomayor, any of these wackadoos. They're not exactly going to be siding with fascism.
Well, you know, Kagan and Sotomayor and Jackson Brown, or Brown Jackson, excuse me, I always do that.
Yeah, yeah.
They will not vote for the former president. But in the same regard, Gorsuch and Thomas and Alito will not vote against the former president.
I mean, if Thomas shows up, he's going to take a lot of sick days.
Shouldn't recuse himself. Well, here's the thing. They don't have to weigh in on this at all. They've already served the president's needs.
Right.
And his goals in this is to delay this trial. Like I said, this was brought in December. In the case in the D.C. in Judge Chutkan, it was then in February ruled against the president in the D.C. appellate court, and then they asked the Supreme Court to hear it, and they should have just refused to hear it.
Yeah,
but the president is not immune. What I great fear the most is that the Supreme Court will kick this back down to Judge Chutkan and say, okay, take a look at the various charges that the president is being brought up on, because some of these may be under the official. The guise of the office of the presidency, his job as president, decide which ones are official jobs and which ones aren't that maybe he should be brought up on charges for. And the whole point is just to delay this till November, have it never go to trial.
Yeah.
Even if it does go to trial, it's going to be appealed. Whatever decision is made is going to be appealed. They've already put by taking this case in an oral, and they heard on the last day they hear oral arguments. You know, they waited 2 weeks to decide to hear it. Hear it on the last day. They won't rule on it until June.
Right.
You know, they're giving him what the guy wants. If former President Trump wins the election, he can then shake the Etch-a-Sketch and these all go away.
I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, so I don't think any of that's going to happen. I just think Trump's going to lose in November. I'd put good money on it. I would put all of the money that I have.
That he will lose a free and fair election
for
Joe Biden.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I understand that there's a lot of people who huff a lot of hopium in the fact that Donald Trump will come back, but unfortunately, based on the amount of independence and
where's your money that he accepts the results? What are you betting on that?
Oh, there's no way he accepts the results.
That's my fear.
There's no way he accepts that, and he's going to be deeply upset about it for quite some time because he's got books to sell. So, $156 million to develop long-lasting solar programs for low-income communities. The funding comes from a $7 billion Solar for All grant competition under the $27 billion Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, which is, I believe that is part of the
Inflation Reduction Act.
So those are your taxpayer dollars at work going to some private company.
A beat's going to Shell Oil or Exxon.
Problem with solar panels, Spike, I know you're a big fan of solar panels.
I am.
They're very fragile.
They are.
They break.
They do.
They're prone to malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be facing directly into a sun in order to work efficiently. Otherwise, they're only picking up like 30 to 40% of what they could actually be doing.
This is true.
They are made with cobalt and lithium, mm-hmm. which is mined by human beings with their bare hands mm-hmm. in third world countries. And you're excited about this. Why?
Because it doesn't heat up the planet as much as internal combustion gas engines do. Why am I for green technologies, both solar and every other aspect?
So we take the solar panels. Mm-hmm. We got to get you're dadding me right now.
Sorry. It's my nature, buddy. You're so much younger than me. I can't help it.
Why did you do this to me, Spike?
But let me tell you about my best friend.
Every time Spike and I get into a debate, Spike always turns. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great argument.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you why you can't have the car this weekend.
Does your dad do this to you, Nora? Does he do this to you when you're debating with your dad?
He likes to go on a more factual lecture route.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like a long form? Like he just starts dropping lectures and
try to bury in details figures and
he'll hear me out, but then he'll have more knowledge.
Okay,
yeah. I don't bother with that. I just go
Yeah. Spike does the John Curley, which is the okay, yeah, right, okay. So you get all the lithium and the cobalt out of the ground from these third world countries, which have no environmental protections whatsoever.
Okay,
you then put them on a boat, likely to China, where they are then refined. But in a place that, again, has no environmental restrictions. You say green energy, and they're like, what? Mostly because they don't speak English. They speak Cantonese. And then,
fair enough.
And then you put that refined cobalt then on another boat to go to probably Malaysia or somewhere like Thailand, where they then make the solar panels, and then they get sent to the United States on a boat, all using gas, by the way, all using gasoline. Then they have to be shipped to the place in Washington, installed by people who get to the workforce or get to their jobs using, you know, cars.
Gas-powered
engines. Then you install the solar panels. Hopefully, you know, the malfunction rate is below 20% hopefully it is, because then you got to send a lot of them back to get fixed, or you got to hire somebody to come out and fix them.
They fill landfills when they go bad.
And then into landfills when they go bad, because when lithium and cobalt goes bad, it becomes, you know, toxic to the environment. And so then what do you got to do with all this excess lithium? Well, we got to shoot it into space. using, you know, rockets, which have a tremendous carbon footprint. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like a very good idea. It doesn't seem like you're getting a whole lot of bang for your buck out of this, right?
I think it's an evolving technology and the ability to create these panels and then and manifest how they attain and save energy are going to improve. We're right now at the rudimentary bleeding edge of technology on this green energy source.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to evolve toward this. It's inevitable that you evolve toward this.
I got a great idea. Okay. I've had this idea for a long time. Everybody thinks it's a bit, but I'm totally serious about it.
Laura,
are you ready for this? This is the way of the future.
Okay.
We get everybody stationary bikes that then go into a power cell.
Okay.
And so what you do is you pedal on said stationary bike for about 30 minutes, and then you have your power cell, which is filled, which then powers all your electronics or whatever. Right?
Okay.
So now we're getting people to exercise and your energy costs are going down and you got a power cell in your house where you don't have to worry about any kind of grid or anything like that.
Put all those people in a warehouse and then give them little rooms that have TV screens on every wall to entertain them when they're not pedaling. That would be an episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, no.
That I think won an Emmy.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, that's literally a Black Mirror episode.
No.
Slippery slope,
you know,
Jack.
That was a good idea.
Dang it. I've been doing that bit for years, and everybody is always
Somebody heard you and wrote it and got an Emmy.
God, you know what that happened to me? I had an idea for a script that I shopped to my buddy. He works for a production company who contracts with Comedy Central.
Okay.
And it was an idea for a puppet, like a Muppet, who joined a police force that it was like supposed to be like a Lethal Weapon.
Uh-huh.
And so you had the black cop who's on the verge of retiring. Uh-huh. And then he's got Taggles McMuppet, who was the Muppet, who was the first Muppet to join the police force because they started integrating the police force between Muppets and real human beings. He's half man, half Muppet. His dad was a Muppet. Mom was a real human being.
I don't even want to hear about that
right.
story,
so, but the point was is that I had this great idea, and I sent my buddy the spec script, right?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, this will never work, right? Now, but the funny part is that Taggles never said anything because Muppets need someone to control them, right?
Right.
So he was just laying around all the time, and everybody was talking to him as if he was an actual cop. Like, a year later, Joel McHale comes out with a movie that is exactly my premise. And I called my buddy and I said, did you tell anybody about my idea? And he wouldn't tell me. And I'm almost positive that
stole your genius.
He had grandpa's old cough medicine at some bar talking to his other production buddies. And that idea found its way to Joel McHale.
I completely believe that's exactly what happened.
I'm devastated by that. Anyway, that's how my screenwriting career ended. Anyway, the Seattle freeze is a thing. Now tell us about the Seattle smug. This is a piece written over by Axios. I've not encountered the Seattle smug, but they say, do you ever feel judged for separating your recyclables the wrong way? Do you ever feel like you're in trouble every time you order a latte without alternative milk? Do you sneer when you tell people where you grew up? No, because I'm not a jerk. Who does this?
Native-born Seattleites.
No,
yes.
Really?
When I moved here in the late 80s, I got the freeze so bad.
Really?
Because Seattle's a very proud part of the country. We're very provincial. You know, I say we, like I have the right to say that I wasn't born here. People have watched their city change over the decades from people moving here. First, it was just Californians, and then from everywhere in the country, East Coast, Midwest, everywhere. And when the city becomes no longer what it was, it changes because everybody keeps moving here. First, it was the freeze where we wouldn't talk to the people who moved here.
Okay.
Only the natives talked to each other. But then they realized, okay, you're here. There's nothing we can do about it. Let's just feel better than you. Let's be smug toward the people that came here because we were born here, not you.
Laura, have you experienced this? Are you smug with people who aren't from here?
No.
See? Yeah.
But I have to try really hard not to be.
Oh, jeez, Laura. You almost just won. Nora, are you smug about people who... Well, you're not from here.
I'm not from here.
Well, and Nora's right. A vegan.
And I'm a vegan.
Oh, my God, you're fired. Andrew, are you smug?
They let you in.
Pretty smug.
Why are you smug, my guy?
I don't know. I feel like it's a preemptive move, maybe. I'm trying to get ahead on the smugness before the other person is smug about their side of things.
You're out smugging?
Yes.
Pre-smugging.
Okay.
The truly unpleasant Mrs. O'Neill just disdains people who moved here. I mean, and because she doesn't, Andrew, do you see your city is not what it used to be because of all the new incomers?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
Is this why your wife blew a dab right in my face when she was going to hug me?
It was passive aggressive, yeah. Yeah, we've got fresh air, but it's not for you.
Go back to California.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I once got an email from somebody. I'm assuming that they were trying to send it to the program director here. I'm assuming they were trying to send it to Brian, but they sent it to me, which was, they said, do we have to listen to the Californian talk about local politics? And I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, my grandparents are from Everett. I mean, they were like born and raised a family in Everett. They raised a family in Everett. Like, I got a picture of my great grandfather, Harvey, standing on the steps of the Everett City Hall back in 1920. I mean, when you say, like, with just a sincere disdain in his voice, I was like, you know, my mom was born here. Like, I feel like there's a lot of roots in this community. Half of my family lives in this state. Get this Californian out of here. I'm like, all right, guy, I didn't come here three times a year when I was a kid. Yeah, you're totally right about it. Just the smug.
That was the smug.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Did you notice the email was written in smug font? It's there now.
It was actually written. It was written, you know how like in serial killer movies, how they cut out the pages from a magazine?
I tape them together.
And he tape it.
That's great. Go back.
Yeah. He wrote it. It was like 1,000 words. And then he photocopied it and uploaded it to my email and sent it to me. And I thought, well, this is odd from this guy.
A lot of care.
And then you just hit delete.
Yeah, and then I just deleted all that fine work. But I have not personally experienced any kind of harshness from anybody or any smug from anybody since I've been. Everybody's just been perfectly nice. People wave to each other in Washington State, which I thought was very sweet. I've had no issues whatsoever with anybody. And so I've not been on the receiving end of said smugness. So I suppose I'm removed from it because of my boyish charm and my sad browns. Right?
I think people can smell the Everett on you. It's in
is
your
that
DNA.
What it is?
Yeah. It's in your DNA,
that's
buddy.
That's probably what it is, right?
You're birthed in. You're more than me. You're more Northwest than I am.
I don't understand why people are so territorial over the places that they live. It's just dirt, right? It's just dirt with trees and beaches, and that's all that it is, and that's all that it will ever be. And when we try to imbue it with meaning, I think we kind of take away from what real value is, which is human beings. It's just dirt.
Yeah, but there was a time when people who were born and raised here could afford to live in Ballard or Ravenna or wherever, and now they can't because people moved here from all over the country to work at Microsoft or Amazon or wherever.
Yeah.
And the price of housing went through the roof. It started with Californians in the 80s and 70s.
The price of housing, because I looked into it, it's because of the turnover. If people move here and they stayed here, you would see a leveling out in the market. But what happens is that people get 2 to 4 year contracts with Google or wherever. Mm. They sign those contracts. They move. They make enough money to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flip that house, artificially raising the price.
Yeah, and take their profits and go.
And take their profits and leave. And so, you know, the real problem here, if you want to blame anybody, it's not so much the tech bros. It's their decision to swap jobs every 2 years or every 4 years and go work for somebody else. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, the Washington GOP, there's a piece by Danny Wesney. He says that they put into writing that they're not into democracy, which is a pretty harsh piece from Danny Wesney. But we'll go over it piece by piece when we get back right after this.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson, Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Wesney, troublemaker over at the Seattle Times. He's talking about this semi-bird getting the GOP.
The endorsement of the Washington State GOP, yeah.
Well, this piece, is it unfair? Not really, no. But Danny does really go right for the throat in this piece because he's basically saying that the Washington GOP has decided to put into writing that they're not into democracy. And quite frankly, he's not wrong about this because semi-bird... he's talked about several times about how he doesn't think the election was legitimate, so on and so forth.
Right.
I think that a very troubling comparison that people often make, because I'm already listening to the arguments that people are making on the opposite side of the speaker, because I'm a very big brain thinker.
Okay.
And I know what other people are thinking before they think it.
I like this.
They will say something like, well, what about the case in Georgia where what's-her-name contested the election results with Brian Kemp. You remember that whole thing?
Sure, sure.
Or they'll say, what about with Hillary Clinton, who conceded the election that day, right? I mean, there's a lot of examples of people who would do a lot of whataboutism.
They conflate questioning the outcome of election to denying
right.
the outcome of an election.
And so what I find to be troubling about this is in the face of overwhelming evidence, you still have people who are maintaining the election was stolen narrative. Mike Lindell, I believe, has spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 to $30 million trying to prove this. He has failed every single time. He's always got a bombshell. I got a bombshell report. It's coming out on Newsmax, and it doesn't ever go anywhere. Kerry Lake has built an entire political career off of this. And so I think that there are other individuals out there, Semi Bird happened to be one of them, who think that they can engage in this kind of behavior and think that it flies with people outside of the base. And quite frankly, it just doesn't. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Well, look at Laura Trump, who's in charge of the RNC.
Exactly. Right.
You know, it's not just the state party that's been, as to quote Dave Reichert, been taken hostage by the MAGA movement. It's the Republican Party that has been taken hostage by the MAGA movement. To be at when the RNC chair was the co-chairs were named, they fired hundreds of people from the Republican National Committee, and to apply for a position in the new RNC, there was a questionnaire sent out, and one of the key questions was, do you believe that the 2020 election was stolen? And people who didn't answer yes to that question weren't considered to be a member of the RNC. So it's a movement that has lost election cycle after election cycle after election cycle. It has platforms that are unpopular with Americans coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the reproductive rights issues, red states like Kentucky, like Ohio, that are and numerous other states have had elections in deep red states where reproductive rights have been put on the ballot and they lose overwhelmingly in these states.
I think that we don't necessarily live in a direct democracy. We live in a constitutional republic, right?
It's correct.
A representative government. And the I think that in a lot of ways, what you see from the GOP is they do try to steer away from direct democracy because it's against the fundamental beliefs of Republicans, which is that we do live in a republic.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So they don't like this idea of tyranny of the majority. They hate it. They despise it. That's kind of a Republican ethos, that the majority should not dictate what the country does as a whole. And that's actually not a bad value to have whatsoever, considering that the majority is often wrong about a number of issues out there, whether it's slavery or gay marriage or whatever it is, right?
This is correct.
The majority of the country post-Civil War was still pro-slavery. I mean,
absolutely true.
Gay marriage, it overwhelmingly was thought of as frowned upon, even so that the liberal bastion of California, the voters didn't want to have it enshrined in the Constitution.
Right.
Thankfully, that was
Civil liberties had to win the day before people could change their opinions of the issue.
Segregation was unbelievably popular amongst people who were not segregated. And you know what I mean? So it's
absolutely.
Like what you see here is you see, yes, oftentimes a democracy does fail. And that's why a republic is a preferred system. I personally think that a parliamentary system would be a better system in the United States. But what do I know? I just have a degree in political theory. So... I think the problem that you have right now with the GOP is they really, really want people to get over Donald Trump in terms of his rhetoric. They say, so what? He said that he won the election. What does it matter, right? They say, what does it matter? J6, what does it matter? Why does it freak you out so much, Lib? They do this very condescending thing where like, he left office peacefully. Did he, though? I mean, did he really leave office peacefully? I mean, when I break it down and when I look at it, we have a new version of fascism in the United States which has kind of attached itself to conservatism, and okay. it's attached itself to the GOP because they will kind of parrot those talking points of independence and freedom from the state and freedom from state oppression and so on and so forth.
Okay.
But then they'll do it and they'll say, you know, we need to protect Christians, right? That's what we really have to do. We have to protect Christian values. We mm-hmm. have to protect Judeo-Christian values in this country. And a lot of GOPers or a lot of conservatives say, yeah, I agree with that notion. I think that's pretty good. But what they don't realize is that they're buying into ultimately a political ideology which is anti-Republic in nature. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's like that story out of Enid, Oklahoma, where that white supremacist and that fascist, the literal neo-Nazi, just rebranded himself as a MAGA guy, and nobody bothered to look at his Facebook posts from 2 years ago, and right. they just said, yeah, he could come in here and be a neo, right? They just thought he was a regular MAGA guy, and then they had to vote to remove him.
Get him out of office.
I think that conservatives would do well to be, and also GOPers would do well to be very, very skeptical of this kind of anti- democracy, anti-republic, kind of fascist element that's moving into their political party. Just to, I'll wrap this up, Spike. I know I'm going long, but when people say America first, that's a phrase that was brought forth by Stephen Miller, who I believe is a fascist. I say that as a statement of opinion, not a statement of fact for legal reasons. And he knew that America first was a neo-fascist movement in the 1920s in the United States that sure. was attempting to take over power in the United States. He knows that. He's not a stupid guy. He got Donald Trump to say it, and now you have people running around saying America first, not realizing that they are echoing people who were looking at the models of Mussolini and other fascists at the time and saying, that's what we need in the United States. That's what you mean. When you say America first, you may not mean it, but that's what it means. It means fascism.
Well, and it's draped in nationalism. That's the yes, guys that put
yeah,
it in.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and you're talking about how, you know, sometimes the majority rule isn't the best for America, which is a valid point. But the minority rule that they've kind of garnered through gerrymandering and through voter suppression, the Republican Party I'm speaking of,
sure.
has now a majority rule. They can't win a popular vote, but they win through Electoral College.
Yeah, every time.
Right? They gerrymander of various state legislations to get a minority point of view put forth, like in Arizona with the reproductive laws that were just kind of overrun today or overturned today. But that's how this point of view, this fascist point of view, gets a foothold through the minority rule. And so it's a very difficult needle to thread, and you got to be careful either way. I like what you're saying about be careful, GOP.
Well, I just
been taken over.
I really do think that they would do really well to have, like, I have my fascist radar on all the time. Who's a fascist? Who's trying to use state power? Mm-hmm. Who's trying to be coercive? Who's trying to whatever? Everybody knows what left-wing authoritarianism looks like. Everybody does. Mao, Stalin.
Sure.
Do we know what right-wing authoritarianism looks like? You start to throw, all of a sudden everybody, Pinochet, I don't know. Like, you know, you see what I'm yeah. saying? That everybody knows, you're talking about left-wing authoritarianism, you can talk about anybody, Ho Chi Minh, all the way down the line, right?
Do you have an example of right-wing authoritarianism that you can offer?
I mean, it's a guy in a big red hat who's got bronzer all over his face who tried to steal an election.
Loving grandfather, you say? okay. Trying to be nice.
All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Airlines will now be required to give automatic cash refunds for canceled and delayed flights. What does this mean for you? I thought this was already a thing, and then I found out that you have to buy insurance on plane tickets now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that that was a thing. I just thought, well, you don't get your flight, then they pay you back, right? No.
Nope.
No, you don't get that. But now it's mandatory. We'll discuss when we get back right after this.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flying is often an annoying and terrorizing experience. It's a weird mix of anxiety and horror, right?
Wow.
You ever think about that?
I've never had flight anxiety. I'm really lucky in that regard.
I mean, more so that just the mass of people who are constantly moving around airports. It's just this.
That gets a little anxiety.
Airports are intensely carceral, and they just have essences of being in a prison state, literally. And so when you go to an airport, like I fly first class, so I don't have any of the problems of you normal people. You know what I'm talking about?
Steerage with us, the other cattle.
Yeah, you get put in the special security line where they say, yes, sir, no, sir. Wait, might you take off your shoes, sir? I can untie them for you if you like. Would you have a sparkling water, a mimosa, a coffee whilst you wait? It's amazing. But
I wouldn't know.
For everybody else, it's truly horrific, right? So one of the things I saw over the weekend was did you guys see the lockdown at SeaTac that happened at Sunday night?
Yeah, I did see that. Somebody slipped a bag through checking.
Yeah.
Didn't get checked.
And the whole place went on lockdown. Yep. I was reading about people who were trying to walk from the C portion to the D portion because the trains weren't moving. And it was just a nightmare. And I was thinking to myself, well, obviously airports are terrible places, but they're also places of wonderment and joy and reconnection and overpriced bagels. So many things to enjoy in an airport. But now you have to worry about one last thing, because airlines will now be required to give automatic cash refunds for canceled and delayed flights. That is pretty amazing. I'm very happy about this. Don't need to even analyze the law, the rule. Don't care. I'm getting my money back.
Well, it used to be that the airlines had their own discretion to say how much they could make you wait before they owed you something. Now it's 3 hours for a domestic flight, 6 hours for an international flight. If you are delayed 3 hours, they owe you, you are due a complete cash refund.
Nice.
They can still offer you credits or vouchers or things like that.
Yeah.
But you have the right to refuse that and say, no. It's been 3 hours delayed on my domestic flight. You owe me, and you within 72 hours, you'll be issued a complete cash refund for your ticket price for a domestic flight.
I have to analyze the psychology of the person who walks past all of the signs in an airport that says you may have one carry-on and one personal item. That, you know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly.
And
the
then they get
about.
To the gate. And they've got their purse and their carry-on and their personal item and then another bag.
Yep.
And then the guy, the lady at the gate has to say, that's five items. And they're like, oh, let me stuff my items into my, let me take my.
This is me. You're describing
Laura,
me.
Laura, please,
yeah,
why
1000%.
Do you do this? I was flying first class a while ago, and the person in front of me, this lady, she was like a Sherpa climbing Everest. She had so many bags.
Yeah.
And the guy,
none of which fit in that little frame, by the way.
She wasn't even flying first class. She just got priority boarding because she had a hip problem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't appear that way because she was trucking all those bags around.
Yeah.
And so the guy says, I can't, what would you like to put underneath the plane? And she says, I can't put anything underneath the plane. And then my thought was, he's not asking you to literally do it, lady. You're not getting on the tarmac. Someone else will do it for you. But then she goes, okay, so she starts stuffing her bags, like they're Russian nesting dolls, into other bags to try to make, and I'm like, lady, you are holding up literally hundreds of people now.
And this is so she don't have to go to baggage check and get her stuff afterwards. She can just walk out of the airport.
And doesn't have to pay a baggage check fee, because if they check it at the gate, they don't charge
but
you.
But it's free when the flight is that full. They say it all the time. No charge to you. It is free.
Once you get to the gate.
That's what Laura's saying. She didn't check it out front because it costs $50 a bag. And part of this,
you could pay $50 on the other side of security.
Right.
Then when you walk through and you get to the gate and they say, hey, we'll check them for free. They always check them for free.
Because you're a pain in the rear end to everybody else on the flight.
Yeah.
Jack, to your point, that's exactly what happens. Part of this new law rule from the Biden administration, the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a more transparent baggage fee system. And be, you know, it's funny because they say 3 hours on a domestic flight. I was on a flight, and at 2 hours and 50 minutes, they boarded us onto the plane to avoid the 3 hour delay rule.
Yeah.
Right. And then they sat, we sat on the plane in the tarmac at the gate or at the jetway for another hour and a half.
That's worse.
Yeah. These loopholes, I mean, this is a nice attempt by the Biden administration to help us as travelers, somebody speaking up for us, but airlines are still going to try to find a way to get us.
Andrew, A plus. Nate Connors. Dang, Nate Connors.
I'm back, baby.
Is that a banana yellow hoodie you got
on? It is.
On?
I wore it for my wife.
Is that, does that have the fleece on the inside, or is that just regular?
That's what I'd like to talk about the inside.
Oh, dang, Nate Connors back at it again with the style and the best looking guy in the building. Nora, thank you so much, A plus. Laura, thank you so much, A plus. Spike, I'll give you a solid C today.
Thanks you. Oh,
that's all C today.
C. I'm like, look at my head. See my smile haircut? Man.
Here's your quote of the day.
Not shooting, son. What's your name?
I'm a runner. Spike, you are known.
I'm a sitter.
You're
I'm a sitter.
I'm also part of the sitting community.
Yeah, I got a half K coming up.